And that's
good idea.
If you can go in, aerify, you can rent the machines to go in. Again, it's punching holes basically into that soil profile so that when you do water, that water can move into that soil profile and then distribute out throughout the soil.
Okay. And Brian, if you're listening, you're the one who asked me. There is your answer. If you think about it, if you look at the golf courses, they do that all the time.
Correct.
Okay. That'd be a great idea in Southwest San Angelo. In your own personal yards, do the say it one more time.
Aerify.
Aerify?
Aerify or aerification.
Aerification. Mm-hmm. That makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. You know, I heard sand, adding sand to your grass.
Some people top dress with either sand, or it's more recommended to top dress with a soil that's similar to the type that you have. If not, you'll build up what they call soil layers, which actually keeps water from moving through that soil profile as well.
And we don't want that.
No.
Okay, but there you go. I always wondered why they punched holes in the golf course out there.
It wasn't to bother your golf game.
I could bother my golf game. It's so bad. But I always thought, oh, that's stupid. You know, just had it up there. But that makes total sense, especially with clay.
Right.
Because it seems like the water can get down. It kind of keeps it, loosens it up.
Well, sandier soils can get almost just as compact as clay soils.
So really? So we're not that much different. So makes a lot of sense.
It just depends on the use. Depends on the use and where it's located, the type of soil you have.
Wow. Folks, if you're listening, you're learning. I'm learning something right now, so that makes a lot of sense. So where do you get, can you rent those machines you said
yes.
over there?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know where we could rent?
I believe Best Tech's here in town had one for rent. I'm not for sure. Maybe Lowe's or Home Depot, I think, has a rental. You might check with ASCO, some of those.
They could go get it?
They can try.
Mm-hmm. So that right there would help a lot, I would think.
Correct.
To help where you could do the deep watering. Mm-hmm. So now if you've got your sprinkler system, or even if you don't have a sprinkler system, but you do it by hand, I guess you could use the same system, turn your hose on, make sure you turn the same amount on each time, check it with your cans or whatever device you want to use.
The main thing is monitoring and be observant.
And probably on a regular basis.
That's correct. If you're doing that, and you know, for most people, unless you're going to leave for vacation or for an extended period of time, leave your system off. That's what I would recommend. Leave it off. Only turn that system on when you're going to water. And then forces you to go back and turn it off. It forces you to go outside and take a look at your plants to see if they even need watering or not, and especially digging down into the soil to see if you even have moisture or not.
How's this for optimism? We have a 2-inch rain coming up. So my system's set to go on in the next week. Probably just go turn it off.
Absolutely.
Because you can count that 2-inch rain. It's probably the rainwater's probably better than way better than our regular water.
I agree.
So turn it off, because I think most West Texas people have a rain gauge. I have two in my backyard. Like, why do you have two? I just want to make sure I have good readings. So that obviously has a real good, we can tell how much rain we got on our yards.
Correct.
And then just can wave that in. That just saves water, but it doesn't conserve.
Correct. And then just monitor soil moisture until you feel like it's necessary that you turn that system back on. It could be a week. It could be a week and a half. It depends on the loss rates. You know, here in the summertime, we can lose up to 2.5 inches a week, depending on the type of day.
That makes a ton of sense. And when you say conservative, it's really not conservative as much as it is just being smart about it.
Correct.
You know, taking care of your business.
That's correct. Xeriscaping is another excellent form of water conservation. But be careful. It's not a guarantee for water savings. I actually monitored a group down in Hidalgo County when I was with the Extension Service. And we had people that had total xeriscape lawns, no turf, using 4 times the amount of water per square foot than a person right next door with St. Augustine grass. And so it is a great resource. It's a great concept. But again, you have to monitor and be smart about how much water you're actually applying. If you turn drip on for too long, you're wasting water just as you would be if you turn your irrigation system on.
Folks, I got Roger with me, and I'm learning stuff. I hope you are listening in, but I'm anxious to hear this one. If you were listening earlier, he's talking about somebody watering rocks and spending more money than people have St. Augustine grass. Explain us what you're talking about.
Okay, they weren't watering rocks. Okay. They actually had native plants for South Texas in their landscape, and it was packed full, but there was zero turf on their whole landscape.
Okay, I exaggerated, but it made a good story, didn't it?
But again, the point of the story is that they were using way too much water, even though they had a xeriscape type landscape and using drip irrigation, because it was 100% drip. But they were using tons of water per square foot. so much that it was exceeding what most people would use even on a turf lawn.
And I know this, if you walk, just walking around with Clarnell Wool Walk, and you can walk by the different yards, you know, out in different houses, and you can feel the, when it's a hot day, you can feel the heat coming off the rocks.
Absolutely.
I would think that has to make your even your bills at your house hotter.
Well, you know, we actually did a test.
More expensive.
Yeah, we actually did a test several years ago, and we were looking at artificial turf, rock, and things of that nature. And it was, I believe it was a July day, about 2:30 in the afternoon. It was 98 degrees. When we took the temperature of the surface of natural grass, it was right at 100 degrees. Ambient temperature at eye level was, like I said, right at 98. When we did asphalt, it was like 120 or 140. Rock was about 125. When we went to the artificial turf, okay, when you actually stepped onto the surface and walked onto that field, the ambient temperature went from 98 degrees at eye level to 112 almost immediately. When you pointed it at the surface, we had measurements exceeding 160 degrees, depending on the color that was actually on that artificial turf. So, you know, artificial turf can be very useful. If you have, especially on sports fields, that has a tremendous amount of use, a lot of events, day in, day out, nighttime events, whereas natural turf just can't hold up to it, it can be a very useful thing to have. But, again, the heat load can be very, very high, especially during the summertime.
I'm sitting here thinking, our athletes, you know, Kyle Stadium, UT Stadium, and all those athletes out there, they're playing a noon game. And, you know, those are big old boys, full pads, those athletes, and you're that feels 160 degrees.
You hope by the time they're playing in September, October, that it's cooled off some. Because, yes, if it's in the 90s, it's going to be extremely hot. If you've noticed on the sidelines, they'll have fans blowing, air conditioners, water, Gatorade, everything in the world because, again, there's a tremendous amount of heat that's absorbed by that. That's a crumb rubber that's usually put into that system for that artificial turf.
Black,
it's sand and crumb rubber.
Mm-hmm. That does that. But I had no idea it got that hot.
Yes. Yeah, it can get very hot depending on the day.
You're talking that, wow. But, I mean, you understand why they want to do it because,
absolutely.
Like you said, the grass, when you have the vents and, you know, they have it all the time.
Most of those large-scale event locations like that that have artificial turf have irrigation systems put in.
Do they really?
Yes, they try to cool the system or cool the fields off.
Well, that makes
either
sense.
During events or whatnot. So, you know, again, they don't have to water it, obviously, to grow. But a lot of them will have it in place for that.
Like a mister.
Yeah, the other downfall is just the cost. You know, several years ago when we were pricing it out, it was between $8 and $10 a square foot to have it installed. And so you compare that to natural turf, it's tremendously high. But again, if it meets what goals you have and the timing of events, if they're at night or during the cool months, things of that nature, it can be a great product.
I was told, and this is years and years ago, when they put it in San Angelo Stadium, it was like $1 million then.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know if that was true or not, if that was.
It wouldn't surprise me. It's very expensive.
You know, but again, like you look at the events, you know, that they have when they have a regular, you know, from the junior high to all the different events they have at it, regular grass wouldn't hold up anymore.
Right.
And it makes sense. I just didn't realize it got that hot.
Mm-hmm.